The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The first meeting between Vice President Harris and former President Donald Trump was as fierce as most predicted, although it began with Harris walking over to Trump to shake his hand and introduce herself. It went downhill from there.
Donald Trump has no plan for you. And when you look at his economic plan, it's all about tax breaks for the richest people. I am offering what I describe as an opportunity economy.
The Harris campaign is now pushing for another debate. Trump asserted without proof that immigrants are eating Americans' pets.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
Officials in Springfield, Ohio, say that just is not happening. CBS's John Dickerson on the interaction between the two.
He did get emotional at time, talking at one point about people eating cats and dogs. And then she pointed at that and said, we don't want to go back to that. And that seemed to be her main argument.
A popular singer-songwriter has made her presidential endorsement.
Taylor Swift says she plans to vote for Vice President Kamala Harris in a post on Instagram. It came shortly after the first presidential debate between Harris and former President Donald Trump ended. She says she's voting for Harris because, quote, she fights for the rights and causes I believe need a warrior to champion them. Swift also said she was heartened and impressed by Harris's selection of Tim Walz as her running mate. Holding a cat, she signed off in her statement, Taylor Swift, childless cat lady. In a jab to Trump's running mate, J.D. Vance. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Today marks 23 years since Al-Qaeda terrorists hijacked four planes in the U.S. and killed nearly 3,000 people. In the years since, illnesses caused by the debris have killed at least 5,000 more. Andrew Ansbrough is the president of the United Firefighters Association.
For us, it's every day. We deal with this every day where, you know, members are sick. A lot of members have cancer or lung ailments. I myself have had multiple skin cancer surgeries. I've had two this year alone.
Hurricane Francine is barreling toward Louisiana, which could experience severe flooding, storm surge, and damaging winds. The storm is forecast to arrive after midday today, says CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
The real impacts come Wednesday in Louisiana, and then eventually moving into Mississippi and maybe even the Tennessee River Valley and Mississippi River Valley as you go into Thursday.
Francine is now a Category 1 hurricane, but could reach Category 2 with winds between 96 and 110 miles an hour. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An appeals court rules the boy accused of killing 10-year-old Lily Peters in Chippewa Falls more than 2 years ago will be tried as an adult. James Kelly reports.
The decision was originally made by a Chippewa County judge, and a three-judge panel in the Court of Appeals ruled to uphold that decision due to the seriousness of the offense. Their ruling states that the defense failed to show that a reversal waiver would not depreciate the seriousness of the offenses. The now 16-year-old suspect is charged with first-degree intentional homicide and sexual assault. I'm James Kelly.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering a request to open guardianship records for some voters. A conservative activist is trying to find ineligible voters and cast doubt on the 2020 election. Justices heard arguments in the case on Tuesday. The court's not expected to issue a ruling before the November election. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers start their road trip off with a win. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee did just enough to get a 3-2 win over the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday. Manager Pat Murphy said the team earned this win.
Guys competed, and the McGill and Williams at the end were really good. And thought it was a good effort by our pitching staff for sure, and our defense. And then And then obviously coming out and getting two early runs.
Game two in the series is tonight. It's the second game of a six-game swing out west. Without quarterback Jordan Love available this week due to a sprained MCL, the Packers will go with Malik Willis, who they traded for this preseason. Willis played at the very end of the game with Philadelphia last week. It'll be the Packers and the Colts this Sunday as each team tries for its first win. And on Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. This week, Civic Media stations have a full slate of high school football. Download the free Civic Media app and don't miss a snap this season. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds to stay with us here in the overnight, and one or two showers, maybe a rumble of thunder. Otherwise, low temperatures will drop to near the 60-degree mark, a light south breeze. On Wednesday, we'll see mostly sunny skies, highs in the low to mid-80s. It's 57 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's Public Cervix Announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks at 11:33. Send in your health-related questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes in an eye for an eye, but only if they're lowercase, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, hey, Wisconsin. How we doing? Happy Tuesday, everybody. They say Tuesday has no feel, but to quote the great Newman from Seinfeld, I feel Tuesday, or Kramer, I think it was actually said, I feel Tuesday. So this is good. We are broadcasting live statewide, wherever you're at in Wisconsin. It's great to have you here at Nightlight, as it always is, where we talk about movies and TV and comedy and music and Wisconsin and all things fun happening in our state. Like we do every night here from 6 to 8 in our new time slot, which is, we're settling in nicely, wouldn't you say, Conrad?
I would say so.
Yeah, it's still light out.
Yeah.
If the show does move any earlier, they'll have to call it afternoon tea with Pete Schwabba. But it's still technically night, I think. We can get away with that, right?
What about daylight?
Daylight with Pete Schwabba. I like that, too. We'll bring a little day to your night. That's how we light the night. We bring... Hopefully, we bring light to the night. So that's what we do here. And it's great to have you. We are broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay here at City Deck Landing from WGBW, our phenomenal facilities. And as I understand it, the Facebook stream is down. So if people are having trouble logging onto there, we apologize. We'll try to, there's nothing I can do. I can't fix anything technologically. Can you fix that, Conrad?
I cannot.
I see you holding a wrench. That frightens me. This is the internet. What if you just had like all your tools out and you're trying to figure out how to get us back on Facebook? It's not those kind of tools, buddy.
I don't think that would work.
I don't think that would work. Anyway, we got a lot of show tonight. It is Tuesday, as I mentioned. It is National Ants on a Log Day. It's about time there was a day to celebrate such an occurrence. Do you know what that is, actually?
Isn't that...
Lay it on us.
Celery, peanut butter, and raisins.
Yeah.
Yep.
A really disgusting sounding snack on every level.
It is.
Do you know what toad in a hole is? Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, isn't that a piece of chocolate and then you put a pretzel around it?
Ooh, that sounds good, actually. No. Toad in a hole is even worse than ants on a log. Toad in a hole is like a piece of sausage, and I think you put it in like an egg sort of muffin or something, and the sausage is showing, so it looks like a toad. And that's supposed to make you hungry. So people,
that does not sound appetizing.
Oh, it's terrible. Come on over for toad in a hole. Beg your pardon? No, thank you. So today is National Ants on a Log Day. That sounds a little better. Peanut butter. I've had peanut butter with carrots. If it's natural peanut butter, it's actually pretty good.
Wait, you've had peanut butter with carrots?
Yeah, that's a thing. And it's actually not too bad. Like, if you use real carrots and dip them in, like a natural peanut butter, very good. I guarantee you, if you don't, Conrad, if you try it and don't like it, I will pay for the carrot.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, give it a shot. It's healthy, too. It's protein. It's vegetables. Carrots are good for your eyesight. Yeah, we got a fun show. Roger Rittenhouse is here tonight. He's been here before. He's a comedian. I wrote with Roger on a show called Sports Soup, which was a lot like The Soup on E!, but only sports related. It was a lot of fun. One of the funniest guys I've ever met. He is a great stand-up comedian. He's written for Bill Maher's show. He writes for D.L. Hewley. I believe he still writes for Larry the Cable Guy. Dennis Miller. He's been on Arsenio, Kimmel. Phenomenal stand-up. He has a new book out called Big Techs, and we're going to talk to Roger about that. All I'll say is there are drag queens involved in cowboys, and Roger has a very I just love his take on things. I can't wait to talk to him. That's at 6:35. It's a new book, Big Techs. We'll talk to Roger about that. And then our old pal Tim Sowers is here. He's not old. He's middle-aged.
Yeah.
I would say, right? Yeah. And Tim is the Chief Artistic Experiences Director at the Overture Center in Madison. So he'll tell us about what's coming up on their agenda. They have a big anniversary. They're celebrating very soon, I believe this month. Tim will tell us about that. And Tim is also a prolific color television watcher. And he goes to see a lot of movies. So I love talking to Tim about all things TV and movies. That's at 8:20. I'm sorry, 7:20. See what I did there?
You got it.
Yeah. Figured it out on the fly. And then, I got to tell you, okay, so I've had a day now to digest a weekend of football.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard an NFL player say, you know, when he talks about his teammates and you know, they're great about giving, all these guys are pretty team conscious. So, well, I couldn't have done it without these guys. We got a great bunch of guys. I want to hear him say, well, I don't really like my teammates, but, you know, they get the job done.
You know, something that's funny is that when Florida played Miami, I think that was a couple weeks back now, one of the players on the team actually posted on, like, you can have, like, a close friend story on Instagram.
Yeah.
He posted saying, F this team. And then one person in his close friends leaked it. And
oh, I love that.
So now everyone has seen it.
Love is honesty. Because a lot of the teammates are jerks. They don't all get along.
Yeah.
But whatever. They're good teammates. That's like that old George Miller joke. He was a friend of David Letterman, and he would go on Letterman, and he said, you know, they always thank God after a win. You know, they say, oh, thanks, praise be to Jesus that we won this game. And it just once I want to hear a guy say, well, the game was going great until Jesus made me fumble. That kind of reminded me of that. Like, they're always like, oh, great bunch of guys in that locker room. They're a great bunch of guys. No, they're not. Some of them are. You missed this, Conrad. Last Friday, I talked about with Aaron Zommers, who filled in for you, my burgeoning friendship over Facebook with director Sofia Coppola. I was curious. I'm a big fan of her. She's Francis Ford Coppola of Godfather fame and many other films and wineries. She's his, I think, granddaughter. Nicolas Cage and Jason Schwartzman's cousin. And a really good director. I loved her film Lost in Translation with Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson, another one of my exes. And she's great. I like her. So all these celebrities all of a sudden are coming up as Facebook friend requests or suggestions, I should say. So I thought, you know what? I like Sofia Coppola a lot. I'm going to make a friend request. She approved me. We're friends.
Nice.
Now, there are two Sofia Coppolas using her picture. So I don't know. I think I'm friends with both of them. And we have a little dialogue going. So here's what it is so far. And I don't want to get my hopes up that we're actually going to be friends. So I'm not going to like overreact. But here's how it goes. Okay, so she gives me a wave. Then I give her a thumbs up. And then she says, how are you doing? I say, excellent, thanks. How are you, Sofia? I spelled her name wrong. I corrected it with the little asterisk.
Nice.
And she writes, I'm doing just fine today. I'm happy to connect with fans. Where are you from? And I panicked and just gave her a thumbs up.
You know, honestly, to me, that sounds like that's a fake account.
She's keeping me in the fan zone. I don't like that. We're colleagues. Yeah, you think so? It's got to be AI, right? But I'm trying to see where the conversation could go. But I don't want to divulge too much, because what if this is like a Russian bot and all of a sudden they start texting Nightlight with crazy nonsense?
Yeah, we don't want that.
We don't want that. So anyway, stand by for that. My burgeoning friendship with Sofia Coppola, we'll see where it goes. What should I respond to her? What should I say? She says, I'm doing just fine today. I'm happy to connect with fans. Where are you from? Should I just say the Midwest and keep it vague?
Well, you gave her the thumbs up already.
Yeah.
I think that's all you needed.
No, that's really nerdy, right? When I come back with a panic, thumbs up. No, wait, the Midwest.
Sounds like you're scrambling.
I'll say the Midwest. What about you? Okay. I think that's going to get the ball rolling. We'll see where this goes. I think there's a promise there. Okay, and then last week, one of our listeners, Kevin Detman, I think, alerted us to this, which is very nice. He said Tom Lennon, who was on the show about 3 weeks ago, gave us a mention on CBS After Midnight, hosted by Taylor Tomlinson. So I looked it up, and sure enough, Tom talked about the Godfather of Green Bay. So we'll play that clip. In the second segment of the show tonight, Tom was just on the show. He's so much fun. And it was nice to get a shout out. Conrad, you were mad he didn't mention my name. I'm not going to like, what if I just send him a hate mail right now? You son of a, how dare you?
How dare you not mention
Lennon? Here's the other thing. Sometimes we just need some time and distance to realize how much we hate a movie. Like, I saw The Fall Guy. And it just kind of left like a, not nausea, but I was just like, just so mediocre, I couldn't stand it. But lately, they're really pushing it again. And they're playing a Bon Jovi song that shot through the heart. Enough. I don't ever need to hear that song again. It's tired. It's old. It wasn't a great song to begin with. Just please stop playing that song in anything. And they're pushing new extended footage of a mediocre movie. Oh, I can watch more of something I didn't really like that much. And all of a sudden, it's in the hate category. I really think I hated the film The Fall Guy.
Okay. You know, I rewatched it with my brother last weekend.
Okay.
And I fell asleep during it.
Did your brother like it?
I didn't ask him.
Here's the thing. If you're not jaded, I know I'm a bit jaded, more so than the average person probably, but I do try to, I have mellowed as I've gotten older. I do tend to try to like things. But when I feel like I'm being sort of talked down to in a movie, that whole song, that whole scene where she's doing karaoke while she's making her first movie, I really wanted to vomit. So that's our question tonight. What's a popular movie that you despise? What's a movie that everyone else liked? You probably should have liked it, but you don't. And you could despise it or be indifferent to it or whatever. What's a popular movie that you despise? That's our question tonight. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what you think, and we'll read it on the air. That's what we do here at Nightlight. It's all interactive. Everybody gets involved. All right, coming back, we're going to play some Tom Lennon talking about The Godfather of Green Bay. Gave us a shout-out last week on CBS After Midnight. And then we'll do, we got some clips we got to get to, Conrad.
Yes, we do.
Maybe we'll do Brian Regan? Or True Romance. Or Arnold Palmer. I don't know. We got a lot of stuff coming up, folks. Roger Rittenhouse is here at 6:35 to talk about his new book, Big Text. Big Text. Big Text. Tom Lennon clips coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm being, I always say Coppola. I'm being fact-checked live on the air on the night of a debate of all things. Catherine Lake, Civic Media's own Catherine Lake, says Coppola or Coppola? I think I say it different every time. Coppola, Coppola.
Well, is the one you're Francis talking Ford to Coppola. The wrong version of it?
Well, the Russian bot is Coppola. So, but Francis Ford Coppola, yeah, why do I say Coppola?
Yeah, I don't even know how to pronounce it.
I ask you, Conrad Kruger, why do I say Coppola?
That's just mean.
What's that mean? Kruger?
Don't pronounce it wrong.
You spell your name with a K.
So, I don't want to be like, you know, with Freddy Krueger. It's Krieger, okay. Come on.
I could see that. My bad. Kroger, how about Kroger?
Yeah.
You're the lovable producer, Conrad, and there's a lovable food store named Kroger if you go to Michigan.
I wish I was a part of that family.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Thank you, Catherine, for I'm going to say Coppola from now on. I know that's the correct pronunciation, but for some reason I say Coppola. Why do I do that? Maybe that's what I want her to name. Oh, look at the gelato guys walking by. It's sad gelato.
Actually, it's not that bad out today.
It's kind of nice out. It's actually happy gelato. There's still some people filing in and out of there. From the 920, Titanic. It was so overly hyped when it originally came out that I still refuse to see it. All right. That's fair. And we talked about that last night, how sometimes there's so much hype surrounding a film that when we don't see it right away, we feel like we're left out somehow. And we don't see the film for a very long time. That's what it was like for me with Debbie Does Dallas. It like came and went. Conrad doesn't even know what that is.
Correct.
It's a famous adult film. I still haven't seen it. Well, I haven't seen it in its entirety. Get it? All right. From the 920. Oh, here I am making a porno joke and your mom texts the show. I'm such a terrible person. Paula says, Dumb and Dumber. It was just too stupid. Conrad, hold me back. Hold my cigarette. Keep this lit. I'm going to go after your mom here. I've never done this. I am a Paula Kroger fan. Paul, I can't believe you're saying that. It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
My mom does not like dumb movies.
It is a perfect movie. We'll have this discussion on another night. Steve says, popular movie I despised is the Twilight movies. Yeah, you're not alone, Steve. It's weird. People are like hit or miss. It's kind of a polarizing thing. I didn't mind them. I thought they were kind of like, I didn't really know the stories, but they're shot so beautifully. They're kind of hypnotic in a way. I didn't hate the Twilight movies, but I respect that, Steve.
So I got one right now. Yeah. I'm a really big Harry Potter fan.
Okay.
But the Fantastic Beasts, like spinoff kind of a Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
I just did not like those. It was super slow and just boring.
And it did well, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah. See, that's the perfect example. That's like me with Fall Guy. I couldn't believe, like, she's Emily Blunt's character is directing her first movie. They take time out to go sing karaoke. And she's singing a song from another movie called Against All Odds by Phil Collins. And it was just so too rom-com-y and lame. And then there's like Ryan Gosling. And I like good looking people in movies, but you can't get just get by on that. You have to, like, the writing has to be there. I just didn't like it. Get your brother. You got to get your brother to text in Conrad and see what he thought about the movie. All right. So last week, we were alerted by one of our listeners. Kevin told us that Tom Lennon, who had just been on the show about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, who is now a Wisconsin resident, by the way, which I think is kind of cool. Tom was on CBS After Midnight with Taylor Tomlinson, a very funny comedian and the host of the show. And he was forced to ask a question of two other contestants, I think is how it worked. And I made a film several years ago called The Godfather of Green Bay. Tom was in it. Tony Goldwyn was in it. Lauren Holly was in it. Yes, Paula from Dumb and Dumber. Oh, we will have that discussion. And Tom gave this question, which I thought was kind of cool.
Thomas.
Taylor, for $45. What movie am I in with Tony Goldwyn? And I'd say there's more where that came from, but there is not. There is not more where that came from. Okay.
It's, honestly, I can't think of a Tony Goldwyn movie.
Do you have any hints?
Is it, can we all, I'm sorry, is it, it's hints? Not Scandal, right? It's not Scandal the movie, is it?
You buzzing
Sandy?
It.
What to expect when you're expecting.
No, but I think that's worth five.
Yeah.
That's worth five.
What is it?
I'm in a Tony Goldwyn's, who looks, Tony Goldwyn's and I are in a great picture called The Godfather of Green Bay. Ooh. Thanks for watching it, you ass. Thanks for making it a hard trivia question.
The Godfather of Green Bay?
Yes, it's surprisingly good.
So that's nice. I don't know if I like the surprisingly part. He said it was very good first. That was kind of cool. Tony Goldwyn was on The Tonight Show several years ago, about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And no, it was Jimmy Kimmel, I think. And Jimmy Kimmel says, we found this clip of you from Scandal. And it's a clip of Tony Goldwyn from my film, The Godfather of Green Bay. His character, Big Jake Norquist, is a gangster who does the he's obsessed with the Macarena. So they cut to what we think is going to be a clip from Scandal. And it's Goldwyn wearing a mullet doing the Macarena. And he just lost it. So that's two shout outs in network, late night network TV. And Taylor Tomlinson was funny too. She said, look, I'm on After Midnight. She goes, I don't watch. Like, she's very self deprecating too. So that was fun. Thank you, Tom Lennon. I'll have to get him back on the show one of these days. Sherry says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Good evening, Sherry. Hope you're doing well. All right. So I saw this too. It was Arnold Palmer's birthday today. Conrad, you're a big golfer. I think we have time to play this clip, right?
Yeah.
It's a pretty short clip.
Yes.
Arnold Palmer got a similar shout out in the movie. Oh my God, what is the movie?
What the is other it? Guys? Will, yes,
yeah, it's from the other guys, Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. And this is a shout out from Nightlight to a man I know very little about, but I think this scene is funny. Arnold Palmer.
Beep, beep. Arnold Palmer alert. Arnold Palmer alert. Who wants some Arnie Palmies? Sweetie, this one is the Bucky right here.
Oh, that guy. I don't, who is that?
I've seen him in so many stuff, but I never remember his
name.
He's
hilarious. I didn't even see the movie, but like Mark Wahlberg is sitting there and Will Ferrell and they're cops. And this guy comes in. Arnie Palmer alert. That's hilarious. That's as much as I know about Arnold Palmer. He was a pretty good golfer though, right?
Yes, definitely.
He did well for himself.
I would say so.
I can't believe the Facebook stream. I keep looking at Facebook expecting to see people contacting the show. And there's just that big pink thing. You got your tools?
I got my screwdriver.
See what you can do. I think you're going to need a slide rule and a Phillips to fix this Facebook thing. Okay, so Roger Rittenhouse is coming up next to talk about his book, Big Techs. Very funny. I read it today. Roger's a very funny guy. And Tim Sowers will be here at 8:20. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabi. You got award-winning news from Civic Media coming up next, then we'll talk to Roger. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I keep seeing this picture of you. Here comes my baby. Here she comes now. And it comes in
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
CBS News Special Report. In a debate on ABC with Vice President Harris, former President Donald Trump focused on a key concern for voters, the cost of groceries.
I had no inflation, virtually no inflation. They had the highest inflation perhaps in the history of our country because I've never seen a worse period of time. People can't go out and buy cereal or bacon or eggs or anything else.
Harris needled Trump on his record as president and how his 4 years in the White House ended.
Donald Trump left us the worst unemployment since the Great Depression. Donald Trump left us the worst public health epidemic in a century.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe says Democrats are happy that Harris pressured Trump on the contentious issue of abortion.
Widespread relief at what they saw repeatedly, how she was able to goad him into situations where he didn't give clear answers on issues like whether he would veto a federal ban.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A recent study says 22% of teenagers have seriously considered committing suicide. Lisa Hale reports.
Bellin Health pediatrician Dr. Sherry Hoyman says checking in with your children, talking with them, is the most important thing you can do.
Don't let them be in their room all day long and not check in on them, right? Eat dinner together. Talk about the day. If your child needs help, get them some counseling.
September is Suicide Prevention Month. I'm Lisa Hale.
A small business in Wisconsin is recognized as one of the best in the nation. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce calls Sky High Marketing in Waukesha one of the 100 best and brightest small businesses in America. Among other things, Sky High is recognized for innovative growth, commitment to community, and customer service. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. I almost feel sorry for the Kardashians. They just want to be left alone, but attention seems to find them. Take Dream Kardashian, for example. She's had a really big week, making her modeling debut, walking the runway with sass and attitude, creating a new Instagram page, and recently releasing her first single, a saucy tune called Besties Do It Better. The really amazing part? She's 7 and in second grade. Oh, but don't worry, there is serious parental oversight. Dream's parents are Blac Chyna and Rob Kardashian, the youngest and chubbiest of the Kardashian brood. I'll just leave you with a sample size of the lyrics for Besties Do It Better. It's Dream. I'm on the scene. And I'm the queen. There's no time to be mean. Besties do it better. That's my friend forever. I want my friend forever. Besties do it better. Her parents are terrible songwriters. They should have asked Uncle Kanye for help. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be sunny and warm and not really all that humid here for much of the upcoming week. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the low 80s. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the league, in case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I'll talk about the phenomenon of post-summer gelato. And I welcome the band Cat and the Hurricane, who will tell us all about their Midwestern tour.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. I said Tim Sowers would be here at 8:20. He will not be because we won't be. I'm still on our 7 to 9 schedule. So Tim will be here at 7:20 to tell us all about what's upcoming at the Overture Center in Madison, and we'll talk movies and TV. In the meantime, this is really exciting. One of my good friends is about to join the show, and I've known this guy for a long time. We've written together on TV shows, and he has been here before, but this time he's here. It's a little more special because he's promoting a book he just wrote, which I think is really cool. It is my pleasure to welcome author Roger Rittenhouse. Roger, how are you?
Pete, how you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. Congrats on the book.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you, man. How are you?
I'm all right. It's hot, Pete.
Hot in L.A.?
Oh, my God, it's hot. Yeah. Oh, wow. I saw a cactus driving a U-Haul.
Where does that cactus think he's going?
I don't know. Where is she? Trying to get out of here.
Going to Wisconsin.
In Silver Lake, I saw a guy without a beard. I mean, it is hot.
Did he have the flannel on, though? Or... Oh, that's genius.
My voice, you know, I don't talk to anyone all day. So when I actually talk to people, it sounds like I have laryngitis. But anyway.
Yeah,
no,
that's
good. It is hot, though, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. It's funny you say that. Some days I'll just walk around my house prepping the show, and both kids are out of the house now. My wife works all day. There are days I literally don't talk to anybody, and then I come here, and it's like, I'm like, blah, 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 blah. It's like nothing works. You know? It's terrible.
It's like my voice is changing. It's
well, puberty.
That's 40 plus.
Puberty was bound to set in at some point. So. Hey, this is really cool. You have a book, and this is, you know what, I have to say, this is exactly... I read it today. This is exactly the kind of book I would have expected from you. And that's a compliment.
Yeah, well, it's something I wanted to do since a long time ago in the 90s. It's like a Dr. Seuss style book based, you know, based on the anti-drag laws in Tennessee. Now, I wanted to do this during the O.J. Simpson trial. And, well, you know, I remember when Cato was like testifying and he said he heard a thump. And then all the, you know, the evidence of his guilt was so cartoonish. I thought, boy, this is like a children's book parody of a murder trial. And I just thought, oh, my, that'd be a good idea. So I kind of had the idea back then. But this one was a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, it's just great satire. And the book is called Big Techs, and you can get it at, well, there's more information at Big Boy Books Pub, bigboybooks.pub.com. That's where I assume people can buy it. I know it's at Barnes and Noble.
Yeah, it's like a 10% discount there. But you can also read an excerpt there. It's on Amazon right now. You can get one. Excuse me. I swear to God, it's on Amazon. If you just type in Big Tech Humor,
okay.
Because if you just type in Big Tech, so far you get a lot. You might get a hot sauce. There's also an erotic romance book called Big Tech. So if you got to type in Big Tech Humor.
The first thing that came up was a shirtless, chiseled guy with a humongous belt buckle and a hat.
That's the one. Yeah, I was like, oh, wow.
He was the inspiration. All right, so tell us about the story. tell us about the character of Big Tex.
I know when I Googled that, I was like, ah, damn it. One already beat me to the punk.
I guess I'll have to make mine illustrated.
So it follows an aspiring drag queen who's convinced that the tough cowboys of the nearby town of Rough Ridge, home of the clothing brand Rough Rider, will hinder his glitter-filled dreams. So he hatches a plan to gain their acceptance. And, you know, it's kind of like the point of view of the drag queen after these anti you know, drag laws. So I'm a big Dr. Seuss fan, but as soon as this story came out, it was like the Grinch, you know, except it was the drag queens hating the buckaroos instead of the Grinch hating the who's. And I don't know. I just kind of like used some similar beats to start it out that way, and then I just kind of went from there.
It's what you sent me, the whole book, right? It's 46 pages.
Yeah.
Okay. It's so great. The illustrations are great. An aspiring drag queen goes, and I love how you call the cowboys, who all look the same, by the way, which killed me. The buckaroos. It's just so funny. And you know, you're from Denver. It reminded me, like, you've had that experience of living around guys like this in the big open sky country. He's kind of like a Neil Cassidy character.
I mean, I grew up in a cow town. I mean, Denver really, you know, before it was, now it's hip.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they actually started the beards, to be honest with you, that whole craze. Because I remember at the Comedy Works, all of a sudden everybody had the same. I mean, it was like, wasn't this guy just up?
That's
it was like Halloween after the Scream and everyone had that costume. I love Westerns, and it was just kind of the perfect, you know, thing like that. And the themes of it are basically, you know, just kind of masculinity, because they're always so ridiculously tough,
a little and, over the top,
gender, homophobia, that kind of thing. But, I just thought it was funny because you got these people banning men wearing costumes while they're cosplaying cowboys in costumes. It's just like, what? You know? And then they say it's for the children, because we all know children hate to, they just hate dressing up, having fun.
Right. Yeah, nobody wants that. I like the cowboys who aren't really cow. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the guy who spends 3 hours on his appearance to make it look like he doesn't care about his appearance. Oh, there's a rip in the jeans strategically placed there. There's a little bit of hair slightly out of place that took this guy 2 hours to coif. I mean, it's kind of the same with cowboys. I've worked the West doing stand-up, and it's like, that guy just works in an office. What's with the boots and the hat?
Well, remember, you know, and I'll tell you, the whole thing for me, too, was just that if you look at some Western clothes, a lot of these I actually drew from catalogs. I basically traced them because I wanted to make sure they were right. And they're just, you know, they have these, like, flower. I mean, look at the belt buckles. These are, like, gigantic, sparkled belt buckles, and the boots have embroidery, and there's rhinestone snaps, and you're like, I mean, in the 70s, you know, the nudie suits that country Western stars wore were essentially drag costumes.
Oh, that's funny. So,
but it's true, you know?
I mean,
so it's just, it's the hypocrisy. It's funny to me. The whole thing is like ridiculous. The fact that you would pass legislation about dressing. I mean, it really kind of like struck a chord with these men, and that whole people, this alpha male who think that, oh my God, you know, it's so, I mean, my grandparents, I remember when we put a pink blanket in my son's crib, cause it was for my daughters. We were just, you know, recycling.
Saving some
and
money.
And the reaction was like, oh my God, we just put lipstick on him. And
you know, what I think is hilarious is I'm kind of obsessed with comments under, there's an ad for Choice Hotels on Facebook that pops up all the time. If you want to lose faith in America, read the comments under there. They're horribly racist. And sometimes people will talk and they don't even know what they're saying. A guy's like, since when are people so upset with toxic masculinity? We need to bring, no. Masculinity's okay. You don't understand what toxic means. Like, I don't think you really have a grasp on the language to be contributing to this conversation, you know?
How about we just kind of normalize some personal freedoms? I mean,
I'm
fine with, you know, there's nothing wrong with barbecues and guns and what have you, but I wouldn't mind if I want to show up at your barbecue with a pearl handled, you know, gun in my fishnet.
Oh, that's great.
I don't own those, but you know, Christmas is coming.
I know. You like girls, I get it, but you're willing to go to bat for everybody. I think that's admirable. And now you illustrated the book too, right? That impressed me. Yeah. I didn't realize that you'd done that until after I got to the
end. Well, it took me a while. You know, like I said, when I had the idea in the 90s, I actually wrote it out. I was like, you know, this isn't going to work because two people were murdered.
Oh, jeez.
And secondly, I drew it like a first grade level, but I really liked the idea. So I started just continuing to draw. And when, I did publish a cartoon in Women's Day, like in 2000, that was so sappy and sugar coated that I didn't want to even to say what it was. It ruined my reputation of being dark, but, so I'm a kind of armchair cartoonist, but the digital drawing tablets are like, oh my God.
Really?
I mean, I don't want to, you know, ruin the secret, but that's like 90% of the work. Those things, they don't draw for you, but pretty close.
Wow, really? It's kind of like AI.
Oh, you can manipulate lines. And like, you know, if you're figuring out what you want a character to look like and you can't really, they aren't good at caricature like me. You know, you can like enlarge and bend and you can reshape everything and distort. And you're like, okay, that's about. And then once you have that character, you just use the same, you just keep using the same character in different positions and facial expressions. So it's made it so much. It's not like you have to redraw something, you know, 46 times.
Right. That is the voice of Roger Rittenhouse. He is the author of the book Big Text, which you can get at Barnes & Noble, Amazon. You can go to bigboybookspub.com. It's a very funny book. I read it today. It's a quick read, and it's hilarious. And you have one, I forget what the passage is, but Big Text pointed his booty and tooted or something. It was like a little...
He did know what he was... Well, that's what he was... His drag persona was Glitter Galore. Yeah,
Glitter Galore, that's right. And then you had a caption of all the people watching, like these blank stares on the faces of the cowboys, which is so funny. In one of the reviews I read, I don't know if it was a review or from the website, it says, inspired by real events. Can you elaborate?
Well, that's the when Tennessee, you know, band drag. Mm. So that was an actual, I mean, that's really what kind of, because I really had no, you know what, the idea came, I was actually at a stoplight and there was a truck carrying a trailer in front of me that said Big Text. And for whatever reason, that made me laugh. And I just pictured this grinning cowboy on a book. And I just thought that'd be just kind of, that was, you know, just some type of satirical kids book. Because I wanted to do it, but I had no idea what I would do. But I just had that stuck in my brain, and then I wrote the first part of it about how, you know, his name was Big Tex, but his real name was Jim, and then how Big Tex was all tough and rough and the hat and the boots and the chaps. And, Jim, he kind of liked drag clothes. You know, that's all I had. And then about a month later, the Tennessee thing broke out, and I'm like, oh, well, there's the story.
Yeah. There's a lot just in those six letters, two words, Big Text. There's a lot going on within those two tiny words. There's a lot to sort through. You have one picture. I love when you draw the West Town, the old old West, and there's one building. You just had a gun on top of the building, like it was like yeah, it was showcased.
That's part of the wear.
Oh my God, that was so funny. The Rough Riders.
You're from Wisconsin. There's probably a store that just has a big gun on top of the roof.
Well, you know what? I will say this. I growing up here in Wisconsin, I remember it was kind of like rock music was the thing, hard rock. And now everywhere you go, it's country. Not everywhere, but most places, like country is definitely infiltrated. You do see some cowboy hats here. It's sort of like a thing. But we'll get into this. I want to,
you know, also I want to make, you know what, let me say this right
yeah.
now. I love, you know what, I love Nashville, the little town that I drew was kind of like Nashville, only it's just clothing instead of music. And I love classic country. I'm not really into the newer stuff.
Same.
But, you know, I actually like Westerns. I like all that stuff, but it's just, it's fun to poke fun at. When I was writing this, I wrote it in the voice of Sam Elliott, who I just think
love
is so hilarious. If you reread this with his voice, it would be twice as funny. I just
All right.
He's like,
let's pick up so there. Funny. We got to do a very quick thing here. Roger Rittenhouse is here talking about his book, Big Text. We'll have more with Roger coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We hear a lot about financial literacy. So what is it? Well, financial literacy is not learning how to pick stocks in the stock market. Financial literacy is learning how to create a budget, how to track personal spending, how to manage and get out of debt, and how to reasonably plan for retirement. And get this, Wisconsin, the University of Wisconsin offers one-on-one financial coaching to any Badger State resident. It's free, it's confidential, and you can do it in person, by phone, or even online. Just search online for UW Extension Financial Coach, and you can get to a sign-up form. I haven't used the program myself yet, but the stats they've posted show a lot of people getting a lot of help. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're a falling star. You're the getaway car. You're the line in the sand when I go too far. You're the swimming.
Those are the golden pipes
on an August day
of Michael Bublé, or as they say in the neighborhood I grew up in Chicago, Michael Bublé. It's his birthday today. So, we got some text here too. Steady Eddie from the 608. The last two times Steady Eddie texted us, Conrad, it was like right as we were getting out of here.
Yeah, that's right.
So he says, Pete, at a Christmas work party about 15 years ago, I brought the highly acclaimed, supposedly hilarious Mel Brooks film Spaceballs. after 20 minutes, the consensus of me and my coworkers was dumb, not funny. No mas, Spaceballs. And we went to our backup movie. Pete, was I right, or should I give Spaceballs another chance? What does Conrad think?
I say give it another chance.
Roger, you like Spaceballs?
You know, I didn't the first time. I don't even know if I actually got through the whole thing. I might give it another chance.
Same.
You know, I'm so old. I think Star Wars is the most overrated thing. I mean, they should have stopped after the Revenge of the Jedi. I thought that was horrible. But that's just me, obviously, yeah. Because it's a phenomenon that's just will not stop.
Right.
Like, you know.
Oh, all these like offshoots.
Yeah. But I would give it another shot.
I probably never told you this before, but when at this theater where I live, when we were back visiting, I think we still lived in LA, I took my son and some family friends. We all went to see the newest Star Wars. I couldn't even tell you what the name of it was because there's so many now, but people were dressed up. It was like just this, it was like a convention of Star Wars and nerds.
Yeah.
And I got right in the doorway. The place was packed. And right as the theater sound went down, I said, look at all the nerds. And you know what? They all, like, they know what they are. They cracked up. They loved it.
Yeah.
But I'm with
no,
you.
No, I swear to God, Empire Strikes Back was just fabulous. And, yeah. You know, I was all about it. And you know, then I thought there was some sagging in the middle there, and then some of the later ones were actually pretty good. I think the last big one was pretty good.
Agreed. I would do that too. And regarding Spaceballs, Steady Eddie, I think I saw part of it. Like you, Roger, I saw bits and pieces. And John Candy was funny, and Mel Brooks just gets such a kick out of himself. It's fun to watch almost anything he does. Like Blazing Saddles is one of my all time favorites. That's a great one. So I would give it another
shot. When did Spaceballs come out? Do you know the year?
Like early 80s?
Yeah. So I think the reason why I thought it paled is because I think Airplane came out before that and was so funny and was kind of doing that same thing.
Right.
I think Spaceballs kind of like tried to be Airplane.
Yeah, I think
you're
right.
And it just wasn't, you know, it was like already kind of been done better.
Right. And Spaceballs came out, I just checked, 87. So quite a bit after Airplane. Yeah.
I mean, Airplane still holds up 100%. And it's just Leslie Nielsen. It's all those actors delivering those lines.
Right.
So straight. You know, I'm kind of interesting to see. I know they're doing a Lethal Gun with Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, yeah.
And I'm hoping it'll be good because he could kind of pull it off. But I don't know. He's worried about it, so I don't know what to think. But yeah.
I just like Leslie Nielsen's just a treasure. Like that guy, the way he did that. And even the Naked Gun, the police show, or the TV show.
Oh, I have that on DVD, and I watched that once.
Oh, it's so great. Was that the one where he looks into the microscope, and he goes, I don't see anything, and he goes, use your open eye, Frank.
Yeah. Or when they cover the crime scene, the paramedics are carrying the stretcher out, and it keeps going and going and going. It's like a 15-foot stretcher.
Yeah, those guys are great. Those are a couple of Wisconsin boys there, the Zucker brothers. I love all those shows. Yeah, Roger Rittenhouse is my guest. He's got a new book called Big Text. I'm going to read an excerpt. May I? Do you mind?
Yeah, go ahead.
And I'll do my best Sam Elliott, but I don't think I can pull that off. So I love how you said you call them, where is that? The Tater. Okay, here we go. Big Tex rode through the tavern, then steady and cool, he slowly sat down on an old barrel stool. Did he order the tater and a 2-gallon pour? No, what he ordered had never been ordered before. A spring, bring me a spring salad. In front of all the Rough Riders, bring me a spring salad, Tex snapped. Was he nuts? With a squeeze of fresh lemon, no ifs, ands, or buts. And skip the dessert. No fried chocolate cream puff? Saying no to fried dough. Well, now that's mighty tough. The book is Big Text. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon. It's very, very funny, and I wish you luck, Raj. You have another one you're working on? Or?
Yeah, it's coming out December 1st. It's kind of the Cat in the Hat for alcoholics. It's when a binge drinker who's sworn off alcohol gets a visit from a bottle of scotch. The battle between temptation and willpower begins.
Oh, that's great.
So there's an excerpt on that on my website also. And yeah, that'll be out December 1st. No, it's fun. These are so much fun to do. And I'm just going to sit here at the house and do them.
They're so great. And here's that passage I was looking for before when she's dancing in front of the Rough Riders. And the last couple lines are where he'd change and perform as Miss Glitter Galore. And for an encore, if the crowd stood and wooed her, she'd spray them with glitter from her big booty shooter. Ah, that's great stuff. So what was more work, writing the material? Probably not for you. I mean, you're a writer, you're a comedy writer.
Oh, no, the work. Well,
the drawings?
Illustrating is a real chore. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I say, the digital board helps a lot. No, the writing a story in verse, I swear to God, is a brain bender because it has to all connect. And you only have a limited amount of words. And I bet you that thing was rewritten. I'm not joking. That was rewritten and revised easily 1,000 times.
Wow.
I mean, I just punched up like 3 different verses today. I mean, yesterday and just, you know, made the book live again now. So,
wow.
You know, I'm kind of a perfectionist. I actually spent one time I missed a comma. So I had to spend $25 to revise it and add a comma.
Was it an Oxford comma?
Oh, fuck. Now I got to go back. Oh, excuse my language.
Oh, yeah. This is live radio. That's okay. So Raj, I would love to help you. Can you stick around? We have to do a quick news thing. I'd love to ask you a couple more questions, keep you for a few moments.
Sure, sure.
Okay, great.
No problem.
And I would recommend to help us help you promote, have more than 6 Twitter followers. I thought I was bad. Oh my God. All right.
I'm not on Twitter anymore.
Oh, that makes sense. All right. Roger Rittenhouse is here. We're going to talk to him about some of the cool things he's written in the past and a lot of things about comedy. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Award-winning news is coming next. We'll be back right after this.
93.5 The Tap. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us for a very special edition of the show next time, live from Waukesha, Wisconsin, for the world premiere of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers, players, filmmakers, and more in your calls. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling. Oh, it's a gut feeling. Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.